Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. You can call and ask Penny Dean a question for Second Amendment Tuesdays. Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop and Hooks It here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
So Bulldog Live here on the Pulse with attorney Penny Dean, who knows a thing or two about firearms law and the like. Hi, Penny. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm all cleaned up from the storm.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I was out till 9 o'clock last night picking up the yard.
Isn't it lovely? Let me guess, there's more branches than you thought you had trees.
Yeah, right.
That's exactly what it is. You're like, holy crap, can they quit sending this stuff down? I want to go in and watch TV.
Picked up the big stuff, let the lawn tractor pick up the little stuff.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it looks good, too.
That's exactly right, because in the fall you can't see it as well as you can the spring.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So how are you today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Storm got in the way of women on target on Saturday, huh?
It did. You know, I was exactly going to mention that, as it's been moved to September 10th, 2011, and it turns out because of the date change, there's some spots open.
Really?
Yeah. So if any women want to take it, it turns out that, like I said, the women who had planned on taking it in what I call Hurricane Day can't make the September 10th date, so there are more spots open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so good, because this is rare. This is rare that there's openings for that.
Oh, these are booked up months and months and months in advance. And so, like I said, it's September 10th. It's at Pelham Fishing Game. And if people go to pelhamfishinggame.org, they contact Denise Bergeron there, and she will be the one who coordinates and handles this type of course. But I'll tell you what, it costs, I think, $30 or $35. And it includes all the women have to do is present their body there. In other words, they get earballs, they get eye protection, they get food, they get snacks, they get dessert. It's like an 8-to-5 thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they get one-on-one instruction. And most of these women are women who've never touched, breathed on, or looked at a firearm before. So I tell women it's a women-only class, other than some of the instructors are male. And although there's a lot of female instructors as well, but literally, you know, some women say, well, I've never shot before. And I go, this is why you go to a class and learn.
Yes.
You know, people always are afraid of, well, I won't know how to do this or I won't know how to do that. And the answer is, so nobody else knows it either.
That's right.
You know, and so it's the first time, you know.
And it's okay, because as Denise will tell you when you sign up, she'll tell the women, okay, no open toe shoes, no low cut shirts. You know, you want to wear a T-shirt that comes up high on the neck and some sneakers or something like that.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing: I'm the queen of wearing scoop neck dresses and blouses. You know, and the bottom line is that I still laugh about is that in those type of situations, hot brass. Anyone who's ever done the hot brass dance. Oh, my God. The brass comes flooping in. It just seems to go down the path of least resistance. Anybody who's done the hot brass dance will know it's a really bad dance to do.
And that's why I wear a hat and glasses when I shoot, because I had one come back and hit me square in the face. I was like, oh.
Yeah. And not only that, when it clinks off your glasses, you go, that could have been my eye.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's absolutely a good thing. And I hope the women will sign up and come, because it's really a pretty cool thing. And on this week's self-defense, our own First Circuit, thank goodness. Now, for people who don't know, in New Hampshire, throughout the United States, there are several circuits. And New Hampshire is in what's called the First Circuit. So for the purposes of deciding court cases, there's a series of circuits throughout the United States, and it's based on geography, and there's a map, okay? And in New Hampshire, we're in what's called the First Circuit. okay? And they put out cases which are really interesting. If you appeal, for example, from the United States District Court, District of New Hampshire, you would go to the First Circuit. And the bottom line is it's in Boston. And there's a very interesting case, and it's called Gilk v. Kunif. And basically what that case is, it's what's called a 1983 case. And that's when people feel their civil rights are being violated, and they sue the police. So, for example, Brian Blackton, the photographer who had his camera seized by the state police, filed what's called a 42 U.S.C. 1983 case, which it's a federal law, Title 42, Section 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really important about that is that it allows citizens to seek redress from government actors. Well, Mr. Gilk happened to be watching an arrest take place in the Boston Common, and he thought the police officers there were using what he considered just a little bit of excessive force. So he, all of us have phones with digital video cameras, right?
Right.
Fancy pantsy. So he got his little phone out and started video and audioing this arrest because he felt these police officers were really off the chart. Okay? And so the whole thing is that he does this. Well, the cops come up to me, come up to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they basically said, hey, what'd you just do? He says, well, I'm video and audio in this arrest.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are not being quite so nice, and I thought that you should have this video and audio. And they said, you can't do that. Well, you're in a public place, and you're in uniform, and you're doing cop-type things, and why can't I?
Right.
Well, they took a whole pile of what I call BS Massachusetts laws and some other laws, and they charged him with a series of offenses.
By the way, if I just want to make one minor correction, it's Simon Glick, G-L-I-K.
Oh, Glick, I'm sorry.
Glick, yeah, that's all right. No, for anybody who might be Googling that the case by its name. You know.
Yes, I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Yep, and basically Mr. Glick was arrested, and they said, well, we're going to charge you with a series of crimes, including hindering apprehension. Now, what did he actually do? He actually was, the technical charge was disturbing the peace and aiding in the escape of a prisoner. Now, the prisoner never escaped. He didn't even know the man. He was simply videoing, audioing the exchange.
Uh-huh.
And eventually, they dismissed the count of aiding in the escape of a prisoner. And they, pursuant to his lawyer's request, dismissed the other charge, disturbing the peace, because in other words, he in no way interfered with him. He was standing back out of the way. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like trying to get the super close shot, so he wasn't up there. He was standing well out of the way, and he was videoing, audioing what was going on. Because of what happened to him, he filed an internal affairs complaint with the Boston Police Department that went nowhere. In some areas, internal affairs is like, you know, the round file. You put the complaint in the round file, and
yep,
there it goes.
Yeah, oh, I know that one firsthand. New Jersey
yeah,
State
yep.
Police trooper ran me off the road one day on the Garden State Parkway, and I went and filed a complaint, and it went through internal affairs, went through a nice little quote-unquote investigation, and, oh, sorry, there's no collaborating evidence to say that he did what you said he did.
Bulldog, what are you going and making up stories about that nice police officer
right.
for? You had nothing else to do that day. Tell the truth. You were bored, and you just felt like that you'd take your time and find out where to go, because it probably was a pain in your foot to find out where to go.
Right.
And just make all these false accusations against this nice police officer.
Yes, I went from New Hampshire down to New Jersey just to make up a story.
That's what I thought happened, and that's why they round file it, because we know that these guys never do anything wrong the minute they put on that blue uniform. So... that, or these might have been green uniforms. You know, we don't know the green meanies. But the bottom line is that this gentleman thought about it, and he said, you know what? This doesn't make sense to me. He said, you know, this is really a violation of my First Amendment rights. It's a violation of all sorts of other rights. And what happened was he filed a lawsuit in federal court in Massachusetts, because each state in the United States has a federal court, and some of them, if they're larger states, have two or three divisions of a federal court. So, for example, in New Hampshire, we only have one, which sits in Concord. But in larger states like Michigan, they'll have the Eastern District and the Western District, and you know, New York has several districts of the federal court.
Okay.
So anyway, he filed in Massachusetts, And the cops defended with a standard defense as, look, we're entitled to qualified immunity. In other words, we were in pursuit of our official duties, and therefore, we're entitled to immunity. We get to walk, dump this case, and everybody go back home and be happy. That's basically what it says in layman's terms.
Okay.
Well, his attorney said, wait a minute here. He said, you're only entitled to qualified immunity when you're following the law and doing your job. In other words, we don't want citizens suing what we call the good cops for doing their job, doing it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, these guys aren't really good cops. They were doing things that they know, they have to know, were illegal. And the First Amendment right to publicly record the activities of police officers on public business is well established, they said. They said, look, there's no question that he should have been allowed to do that. And this isn't some esoteric point in the law of how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. This is a case where every police officer should know that. In other words, they go through academies in New Hampshire. They go through, you know, the police standards and training. They have all these criteria and all these classes, and they're saying, look, after they graduate from a standard police academy, they ought to know this. And they said, so we are not going to give them qualified immunity. And this is really huge. Because what's happened is this court, and particularly Lippes, who's the circuit judge, wrote the opinion. And the bottom line is he, for the first time, has made it absolutely crystal clear that the case law and the Constitution says that these people should not get qualified immunity. And in the past, and this is really huge, because in the past, that's just a standard. I'm telling you, the attorney generals, when they defend against these complaints, they have a standard form letter. And they go, yep, this should be dismissed because of qualified immunity. This should be dismissed because it's filed too late. They have what I call a whole laundry list.
Okay.
And in the past, the courts would really, I think, improperly, in almost every case, say, yep, 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 they're entitled to qualified immunity. And this time the court stood back and said, wait a minute, why would we give them qualified immunity? They're violating the Constitution. That's the whole purpose of 42 U.S.C. 1983, what's called the Civil Rights Statute, is to keep law enforcement from violating the law that they're supposed to uphold.
Uh-huh.
And so this decision is going to have huge ramifications for many, many cases. Because the bottom line is, that they're looking at it particularly as longstanding principles of constitutional litigation entitle public officials to qualified immunity from personal liability arising out of the actions taken in the exercise of what's called discretionary functions. And this is huge because this statute allows people to sue bad cops personally. Instead of getting in the public coffer, because here's what I tell people, when I explain to a lot of people when bad cops do things to them, look, you can sue them, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, wait a minute, but who actually pays for this? And I go, you do. I mean, if you want to put it in simple terms, you're a taxpayer, you live in that town, and money doesn't just grow on trees. They have to take the money from what I call the public coffer if they don't have insurance, or if they do,
right.
You know, that's another issue.
Right.
But they still might have a large deductible.
Sure.
Because cities and municipalities aren't going to have $100 deductibles.
Or maybe they've been sued so many times that now they have to become personally liable.
That's there's huge.
I saw that happen in Connecticut. What happened in the town that got hit, the town that I lived in there, got hit with so many right-to-know lawsuits. There they call it Freedom of Information Act. But they got hit with so many lawsuits that the Freedom of Information Commission told the town, you can no longer pay out of your insurance fund. Every complaint that we have to rule on, it will now come out of your own pockets. The town employees that were being sued.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, because there had so many of them. But what I'm wondering, the question, of course, with this case, I have a feeling that you're bringing this up to talk about the effects on New Hampshire with the number of cases that have occurred here.
I absolutely am. And I wanted to lay the groundwork because a lot of people, I says, will say when they read the newspaper, okay, that's really great. There's this great lawsuit. What's that have to do with me?
All right. Well, hang on a second because I do want to get to Mark from Hillsboro here on Bulldog Live, the Second Amendment Tuesdays, brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, and you can reach them at 485-5000. You can visit them at 1575 Hooksett Road. That's the Daniel Webster Highway. And very easy to get to. Very convenient store hours. But first, let's go to our calls at 866-823-1077. Mark, you're on Bulldog Live along with Attorney Penny Dean. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right. And it's too much of a coincidence that you guys are talking about this stuff today, because I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I have, well, you know that I live in Hillsboro, and I've had a huge problem of people speeding on my road, to which my local police department do absolutely nothing about. And last week, I caught one of the police officers coming up my road at 57 miles an hour, speed limit is 30, and 10 minutes later, while I later found out that he was responding to a call, but came back down the road, my estimate was in excess of 80 miles an hour with no lights on. So I've gone and complained to the chief, and basically the chief told me, well, he said he wasn't speeding, and he said he had his lights on. Like I said, this has been an ongoing battle with myself and my local police department. They're completely useless. I hope they're listening right now, because I'd like to know what to do about these types of problems where you need to be able to enforce the same laws that these police officers are expected to enforce.
I have a great idea.
Go ahead, Penny.
Here's my great idea. Here's my question, and this I'm kind of thinking out loud, but police standards and training certify all police officers in the state. I wonder if there's rules that say if they violate basic policies like that, if their certification should be rescinded.
Well, that would be great, but even the chief isn't willing to support. He basically said, well, the officer said that he wasn't speeding, and the officer said that he had his lights on, which I know wasn't the case.
Did you have that on video by any chance?
I didn't, but I have myself a little radar gun that I was able to detect speed the first time that he went by, but I didn't have it on me the second time he came by.
Okay.
Yeah, you want me to tell you the best thing that people can buy? I have a client of mine that bought this device that does audio and video recording. It costs $100. Think about how cheap this is, $100, okay? You wear it around your neck on your lanyard, and it looks like a little USB thing, right? And I think it does like 1 or 2 hours, or maybe 20 hours, this obscene amount of audio and video recording. And you could wear that around your neck, and next time they're going out there, take a picture of them, or, you know, audio and video, and turn them in, because I think the bottom line is, as long as you're telling the chief, which it sounds like we've got the fox guarding the hen house here, he's not going to do anything, it sounds like, from what you're saying. What you need to do is go to the paper, go to police standards and training, and go to your town, whatever form of government is, if they have a city manager or council, and say, look at the liability for this. What if little Johnny's riding his bike out in the road in an area that the Department of Transportation and Highway Department has determined 30 miles an hour is a safe and prudent speed, and he's running 57 or 80 miles an hour? What's going to happen to little Johnny on his bike? You know, that kid's going to go flying through the air. And it's not going to, you know, I mean, when it comes to kids and police cruisers usually win. And so the bottom line is that that's an example of, in the past, they were arresting people in New Hampshire for audio and videoing cops and other people. And I think this case, as well as other cases that are winding their way through the courts, are going to say, look, these guys are in public, they're in performance of their public duty, and it's no different than a regular newspaper reporter or a television crew when they come up with all their cameras and their reporters recording everything. It's no different. But here's the reason it really matters in self-defense cases, and I know it doesn't go directly to your case of people speeding up and down your road, is the more that we're allowed to audio and video record them, I think you're going to see better justice, fairness, and if they know they're being watched, it's called the sentinel effect, hopefully we'll see better behavior. I think that's really, really huge, at least in this case, because think about it, in a self-defense scenario, evidence is a lot of times lost. If you can audio and video the scene right afterwards, think about the evidence preserved that would show your contention of self-defense.
There you go.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Mark, I have to get going here. Anything else real quick?
Well, I was just going to follow up. I've been working with Lieutenant Sweet with the state police doing this, and you know, I'll pace him with my car and video with the phone, and you know, he tells me that, you know, he talks to the officers and takes care of it, but I haven't seen, you know, very much change in the state police officers as well, you know, traveling at 80 plus on the interstate.
You know what? I
haven't seen them do that in a very long time. Because I've made a big deal out of that a long time ago.
Well, you want me to tell you what? You might be talking to Lieutenant Sweet, but like everything else, I would talk to the New Hampshire Executive Council. You know, there's five members of the Executive Council.
Yep.
I would call them, and I would make them aware of your concerns, particularly Councillor Wheeler. I think he would be interested in knowing things like this that are happening.
Very good.
Excellent. Okay.
All right, Mark, got to go. Thank you very much. You take care.
You.
All right, Penny, and with that, I've got to go, too. Anybody else have any questions? How do they get in touch with you?
230-9999.
Very good. Well, Penny, thank you very much. Let's chat again next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bulldog Live continues here. Second Amendment Tuesdays brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can reach them online at rileysguns.com. They've got great convenient hours for you Monday through Wednesday, 9 to 5. Thursday and Friday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, 10 to 5. So how convenient is that for you? No excuses. That's good. Get what you need. They got a lot of stuff in stock. 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett.